Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Welcome to The Watchman. Today, as we continue with our study on the times in which we live and the things that we are supposed to do, I have an unction to prepare the church for the reality of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to prepare the church in every way, not just to tell them that Jesus is about to come, but to prepare them so that, to prepare their hearts, in so to speak. That's the purpose of the watchman, to tell them that Jesus is about to come, and therefore they should be prepared in just about every way. But not just that, also to stand as some kind of voice of what is happening in the world and what it means to the church and to everybody involved in the body of Christ. So that's my brief. So if sometimes it is not necessary that I'm talking about end time and something for which you know some people want to know you in a certain way, and they don't want you to deviate. Not that I'm deviating, I'm speaking end times, but they think they should be in charge of what your call is, and they are, you know, very people who not very kind people, you understand. And anyhow, let's leave that, and I just want to go through a number of things that are happening at the beginning of the year. When I was telling you about 16 things that you should expect in 2016, and those messages at some stage will be laid for the purpose of taking account, stock checking, so to speak. I told you there's going to be a change of leadership in the church, and that has already been affected. You know, this these things are spiritual. Of course, there are people who have excelled at giving themselves titles, eminence, and what, and they are in all sorts of public forum, but that is their thing, and it's not going to be denied them. They will carry on with that, but ultimately the leadership of the church will be evident for everybody to see. And and some of those people who have been accustomed to pulling crowds and doing things and battering people, battering in the sense of not giving them real spiritual bread, will be exposed. And the people who stay there will have stayed there because they have deliberately refused to see the truth. But the truth will be evident. Because right now I know people who still go to places where, you know, the place died a long time ago. And the person who leads the place is... went off the boil, he's on his own things and things like that, but because it was once a good place, and this person has an emotional attachment to it, so they don't want to leave the place, they don't want to accept it. This might be all sorts of places, even, you know, which attract people, maybe churches, maybe congregations, fellowships, and things like that. But the leadership of the church is... I told you it was going to change, and now it is already been affected. And I told you, as soon as that happens, then the leadership of the nation will also change. Okay? Now, and all that still stands, the leadership of the nation is going to change. Now, some people are saying that, yeah, but you know, there was an election and what? The leadership of the nation is going to change. And I'm not talking about 2021. I'm telling you, the leadership of the nation is going to change. Okay, now let's leave that and go into something else. Now, other people were asking me about all the things that are happening in the world today, Zika virus and things like those, and what do you think about that? And now there's another one which I was reading about, which apparently has already infected around 300,000 people in America, they say, and is causing some kind of fear, and for it to spread by kissing. So now the Zika, which was first spread by a mosquito, then eventually is spread, looks like, now through sex. Now there is another one which is spread through kissing, and very soon, as in, it's almost like everybody is surrounded in a way, and there is all voices coming from everywhere. If you don't fear this, you're supposed to fear this. If you don't fear this, you're supposed to fear this. Now, of course, the whole of the Western world is terrorized with the cancer, and even they've spread it to to us here, and the terror, the cancer terror, and creating all that terror, that cancer, and then they get, you know, a few of the elite people, are like, you know, cancer awareness, spreading cancer awareness and all that. And these are people who don't understand so many things, and they don't really know how the spiritual world works, and they don't know that certain things which are presented and might even look like they are good and they are noble are actually evil and tending towards spreading the evil. So now you see in the Western world, cancer terror, then from cancer terror there is terror of now Zika, but apparently that now is only serious, the pregnant women, but the others which are coming, which will affect everybody, and the news media is all there to pump it up. Now there's a time everybody was scared about Zika, but of course it's supposed to spread a certain sense of fear across the world, and then they are saying it came from Uganda, which of course does not make any sense, because they say it was discovered in 1947. What took it so long to finally come out and people know that it is there? What took it 6 years before it comes out, 65 years before it comes out and says that from the Uganda Virus Research Institute there in Entebbe? But then of course the bigger question is that if it came from Uganda, then why is it that people in Uganda are not suffering from it, and people who are half the world across from Uganda in Brazil are the ones suffering from it? Does that make any sense? Of course it does not. But then of course when they ask doctors say no, for us here it is not diagnosed, so people might be having it somewhere, but it's not diagnosed, because doctors don't want to believe there is no disease, because if there is no disease then they have no job. Okay, so somehow they will create, it is very difficult for a doctor to accept that something is okay. Even if you go for a medical checkup, he will find something that is wrong with you somehow, because he has been trained that way. If let's say you're 40 years and above, there has to be something wrong. So you'll check that. But there's nothing. And of course, if you go by him, then you'll also believe there's something wrong. And then you'll get onto that something wrong. And then somehow you get down into a system which is supposed to permanently, because the doctors are trained to sell drugs. The whole system of doctors, okay, now I'm not, rubbishing the profession, of course, because I know it's so important and they are trained to treat and all that. But one of their major trainings is to treat, is to market drugs. So aside from the other things they do, they are also marketeers of pharmaceuticals. You just know that. And pharmaceuticals need for people to be sick, or if they are not sick, to think they are sick, for them to continue selling. Now that's how the system of the world works. Now I'm telling you, but there's something else I'm trying to present here. Now, of course, the Zika virus came out from South America, because that's where Bill Gates and his group went and did some biological experiments in which they were supposed to release a certain kind of mosquitoes, which was going to almost finish off the other ones, which apparently have malaria, and then they eradicate malaria. But of course, it was a biological experiment that went completely sour. And the result of it is Zika and all that. But of course, they will not admit that. So they will have to put it down to some natural cause. Because if they did that, then people will become skeptical about all the other experimentations which they are doing, which of course have caused so many sicknesses, as you already know. So now, they will put it down to some natural cause. A forest in Uganda somewhere is causing Zika virus. But the people staying near the forest don't have Zika virus, and they are producing children with normal sizes of heads. Some of us grow up there, and I mean, what's wrong with my head? Some people I know grow up there and they are perfectly okay. And those who are in Brazil, somehow the mosquito jumps those who are in Entebbe and crosses throughout the Atlantic and the Pacific and winds up in Brazil. And that's so, but it originates in Uganda. And the point is that, you know, the whole scientific community have been trained to believe things which are so clearly not believable. So somebody comes and tells somebody that climate change, the idea of man-made climate change is a hoax, and you sound like you don't know what you're talking about. But the thing is, it's the truth. And it's not just me who say that, there are so many. And then if you study the Bible, there are all these cycles of climate which are mentioned somewhere, mentioned in what you'd call obscure parts of the Bible, which if you study carefully, these things have existed for so long. It's not like man-made climate change, first of all, global warming and all that. But, you know, the news media and the systems of the world have to propagate what the God of this world wants people to believe. And in order for something to spread and become a problem, it has to first spread and become a fear. Now I want you to understand this. There is a way the spiritual world works. For something to become a problem, for there to be an infection that spreads and becomes a problem, there has to be a fear for the infection that spreads. Now I grew up in the 1990s, and I know how much fear people had for AIDS. There was such a fear of AIDS. But you see, the more people feared it, the more actually they contracted it. And then somehow it seems to reduce, and what then people grow up who are not having any fear whatsoever, even any consciousness of AIDS, and they grow up and somehow they don't get it. Does that mean that people have become less promiscuous now than they were in the 90s? No, they haven't. It's just that there was an atmosphere that was conducive for the spread of it. How? Because it comes through consciousness. I'm teaching you a spiritual law. Now, if you're a scientist and what, and you think this is rubbish, I think this now is as good a time as any to switch off. But I'm teaching you a spiritual law, which I know. Now, I'll start by telling you this. I remember when I was working in the media, in the New Vision newspaper, there was this lady whom I know who was in a relationship, and I think she was in her relationship, and she wanted a child. So, and that time they were spreading, you know, awareness of how malaria, pregnant women can cause, miscarriages and what. And there was a lot of talk through the NGO world and all that of miscarriages. And you know what? There were actually so many miscarriages. And so there was a lot of awareness about miscarriage. Make sure you don't get sleep under mosquito treated net. You won't get miscarriage. You know, you won't have suffer miscarriage and what. So this lady had consumed all this stuff about miscarriages and the dangers. She knew everything in the book that would cause a miscarriage. And she did everything she knew to take precaution to make sure she doesn't get a miscarriage. So every time she's opened her mouth, when you were talking, when she was pregnant, every time she opened her mouth, she was saying, no, I cannot do this, otherwise I might get a miscarriage. So as far as I know, she did everything. She took every precaution that she could humanly be expected to take. And she was very cautious, she was very aware of everything. Now, about that time, I left the country and went somewhere, and I spent there just under a month. Then I returned from that place, and I'd left this lady when she was really pregnant. She probably was about 6 or 7, whatever, six months or so pregnant. Or actually, maybe more than that. I was just guessing because, you know, I didn't know. So I came back, and then I find her stomach flat. I mean, this is somebody who used to work with. So I find her stomach flat. So you say, hey. Now, I said, man, but was it time yet? I was away for just a month. Could she have given birth so soon? Was it a premature baby or what? So I wonder. So I asked people, what happened? Did she give birth? They told me, no, she actually suffered a miscarriage. And I was so sad because I don't know of anybody who took more precaution than that lady to make sure she does not suffer a miscarriage. But she did. She did, and she did not have that baby. She did not carry that pregnancy to term. And it was a very sad thing. And now I was thinking, now, if somebody like her can have a miscarriage, then who is going to carry the baby to term? Because because that time there was a lot of NGO world pumping us. And of course, the NGO world is controlled by the Western world. And the Western world is controlled by the New World Order. Pumping people with miscarriage. Anyhow. So then I started studying and saying, why is it that there is all this, you know, issues. Somebody comes and starts telling you about something, then the next thing you start actually noticing it, okay? The consciousness creates a surrounding in which that thing is done. Now, this in the spirit, something cannot happen to you unless you have consciousness of it. You have to have it in your mind, you have to have consciousness of it, and you have to accept it as something within the realm of your possibility and something which can easily happen to you before it actually does happen to you. If you refuse it at the point of the spirituality when it is presented to you as an idea, then it will never actualize and become a part of your existence. Now I want you to understand this, because this is how the spirit world works. Now in the spirit world, or in the Bible, it is called faith. Okay, it is an awareness. An excitement, an awareness, excitement or fear, depending on what you're expecting, if it's good or bad, that surrounds you and you don't actually You don't know where it came from. Maybe you know where it came from, but it comes from listening to so many things, and then suddenly, you realize that that thing has become a possibility, or it has happened in your life. I'll give you an example. You wake up one day, let's say one evening you're watching the news, and there's a boda-boda accident, and then maybe the television tells you how many boda-boda accidents are in town every day. There are 100 boda-boda accidents in town every day, and they show you, go take you to the wards in Mulago where people's legs are being cut off and what and what. Now, they are reporting what actually has happened, but they're also doing something else. Because if you take that news item and consume it and have it in your mind and actually start thinking about it and say, hey man, borders are very dangerous. Then the next thing you say, hey man, borders are very dangerous. Hey man, do you know how many people die of borders every day? Do you know how many what? Do you know how many what? Now, I am telling you, you are actually cultivating the surrounding that is going to create you to have, going to make you have a border accident. Now, there are people who can, you yet you realize until you listen to that item on news, you have been riding on borders for 5 years and you've not even had as much as a scratch. The most you've had is that is your trouser and you dust it off. That's the most you've had in terms of, you've not even had a scratch on a border. But when you listen to that item and you start consuming it and you start thinking about it as a possibility, and then it creates in you fear of a border accident. Now, I want you to understand, fear is faith that something bad is going to happen to you. And faith is faith that something good is going to happen to you. Now, they are the same things. They are more or less the same. So when you're fearing a border accident, you're actually manifesting faith for a border accident. And that faith is going to lead you to what you are believing for, good or bad. This is a spiritual law. One way or the other, I'll give an example. 2001, I lost some friends of mine in a motor accident as they were returning from Jinja, somewhere around Lugazi. Now, it actually took me a while to even drive that road because there's a lot of this. After that time, all the time I would be driving, there would be this fear in me that something bad the tire might burst, this might happen, the other might. And actually, there were attacks in that area after that, because I remember one other time I was coming from Masindi and the tire burst and we went off and what, but we came off with I wasn't driving, I was just a passenger, and nobody was really hurt in the car and so on. So there was all those things until I realized that the reason actually I was, there were skirmishes of that area in that area in my life, was because I was fearful of being in a car. Every time the car went past 60 kilometers an hour, I was fearful. So now that fear created an atmosphere in which accidents became a part of my life. Now that is faith, that I had faith for accidents. Now one day I was coming from, I'd gone to Nairobi and I was going to be there for a few days, so I went and parked my car at the airport. And so I flew out. Then when I came back at late in the night. So like at 1 a.m. I was driving back home alone in the car. Then I got this sudden attack of fear that something bad is going to happen to me. And the tire is going to burst, you're going to roll off, what, you know. Now I started seeing, and so the fear gripped me that I actually even reduced the speed. And it was 1 a.m. I was almost alone in the car. At that time, and it was a weekday, so it was at one of these Saturdays when people are moving very. So I reduced speed to almost 60 kilometers an hour out of fear. Then I realized that there is no amount of precaution that can save you from getting that thing if you fulfill the spiritual requirements for it to happen. So if I fulfill all the spiritual requirements, I have enough faith or fear for an accident, and the fear has manifested in my emotions, it has manifested in my precautions and in everything else, then it is definitely going to happen, because spiritual laws supersede natural laws. So I realized that I was actually falling straight into the devil's trap. So you know what I did? I got that scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, which says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I actually almost came to a halt on the road and got that scripture. Of course, I had it in my head because I read the Bible. And so I started saying out that scripture very loud. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So I repeated that scripture over and over and over again. And after about 10 minutes, the fear all dissipated. All of it went. And I became very confident And that I could even drive 120 kilometers an hour and nothing was going to happen to me. The fear had all gone. In other words, now I'd detonated a spiritual bomb that was going to, that was going to explode. A spiritual bomb that was going to explode, and in the form of an accident. So now that's how bad things happen to good people, because they let it happen at the point of their faith. Now, if you understand how powerful that law is, you'll make sure it works for you both ways. I mean, rather, you'll make sure it works for you for good, because it is the same law. It is the same law. Now, I'll give you another example for you to understand. Okay, let's say two others. I remember one time I was going to Mbarara for a giveaway function, a friend of mine. So the function was on a Saturday, so Friday night I had things to do. I finished, I went and had supper, took my time. We left Kampala, we were three people in one car. We left Kampala at 11 p.m. because all I wanted was just to go have a few hours of rest and the following day go for the giveaway, and then I come back, and I had things to do on Friday. So we left Kampala at 11 p.m. and it's something that I do a lot of the time, because I like driving at night. So I set off and started going. So I moved. And so I was with this friend of mine, this colleague of mine, who told me that, you know, he started saying, you know, do you know that this car is controlled, everything around the car is controlled with a timing belt? I said, hey, really? What's a timing belt? Said, a timing belt is that thing, he started explaining to me. He told me if the timing belt breaks, cuts, the car cannot move, the engine has to stop. The timing belt. Then he told me how many times he has been driving, and then the timing belt broke. The timing belt. Now, you know, even the other time we were driving, the timing belt. The guy talked about timing belt, and no faith comes by hearing, okay? Now, he talked so much about the timing belt, until I also started saying, but what if we are here in the middle of the road? It was now 2 a.m. We are here in the middle of the road, and what if the timing belt breaks? And we are stranded. So somehow, because he had been talking about how many times his time, before that I didn't even know that a car has something called a timing belt. Now, this guy educated me on everything about a timing belt, the dangers of a timing belt breaking and what it can cause, how the car has to be and what. So we passed Masaka, we went to Chazanga, what. Then somewhere along the way, long before we reached the Antonde, somewhere along the way, guess what happened? The car stopped, and guess what was the problem? The timing belt had broken. So we spent the night at the roadside in the car. We had to push it up a hill to some trading center and then sleep in the car, because we couldn't sleep in the car in an isolated road. So we pushed the car for almost 2 kilometers to a trading center. Then when we were tired and sweating, we got into the car and slept, and in the morning we went to the nearest garage, which was someplace. Somebody actually had to board a bus and go ahead and get some mechanics who came with like 3 or 4 timing belts to see which one fitted. Thankfully, one of them fitted, and we ended up in Mbarara. Now, this is what I'm telling you. If that gentleman had not created faith for a timing belt breaking, it was not going to break. Now, you see how does words have something to do with what happens in the engine? It has, the laws of the spirit are very powerful. Now, if he had not given me the faith for a breaking timing, it was not going to happen. We are going to arrive in Mbarara very safe. Now, there are certain people I know who, they have a lot of faith for bad things happening at night. That when I'm traveling with them, I don't travel at night. When I'm traveling alone, I travel at night, because I don't fear. I have no faith for anything wrong happening. And because I have no faith for it, it's not going to happen. So I travel and I go safely. And I move, whatever the distance, I'll drive at night and arrive safely. Now, when I'm moving with some people, say, but why are you moving at this time? What if this happened? When somebody starts talking like that, two things: either I will postpone the journey until the following morning, or I will tell them, you stay behind, let me go. I don't want you to infect me with your negative faith, because I know how powerful these laws are. Now, when the world starts spreading, that's how things are spread. It has to first come in the form of awareness, in the form of people knowing about it, thinking about it, accepting it as a possibility and all that. Then when the awareness has been created, then it seeps into reality. That's how homosexuality was spread here. When people were never talking about homosexuality, nobody, how many homosexuals did you know? There were none. But then they come and then they make it an agenda. So the homosexuals abroad, particularly in America, we are sponsoring the anti-homosexuality campaign. And they were also sponsoring the pro-homosexuality campaign. Why were they doing that? They know what they are doing. They know that they sponsor the other guy and this guy to talk. This one is against, the other one is pro. But what does that mean? They are creating awareness in the public. Okay? So people stand there, then you argue, no, homosexuality. And you don't know that by actually creating awareness in the public, you're creating an atmosphere in which that homosexual demon is going to go and infect people. The next thing you know, something that was almost unheard of before, now there are even bars, I'm told, where the, you know, homosexual bars and stuff like that. How did you get there? By creating awareness, making people think that they are fighting it. Yes, in actual sense, they are promoting it. And the people who fight are the ones who promote it. Now, that's you've heard these things, cancer awareness run. Why do you want to be aware about cancer? How many people did you know, when I grew up, it was very, very rare for somebody to say that he had cancer. Now, people are saying that it was not diagnosed. No, that is not true. You see, that's the excuse always people give. That wasn't diagnosed. No, that wasn't it. People were not getting cancer because we see the symptoms now. And I know how all the old people I knew in the village died. And none of them died of cancer. But now you find old people dying. People, how awareness, cancer awareness. We are spreading cancer awareness. What you're doing is you're spreading cancer. Because disease is spiritual and is from the devil. Now, when you spread the awareness of a specific sickness, you create the atmosphere that is necessary for that sickness to prevail. And who are the champions of that? News media, medical world, and all those people, they come and tell you, are you aware? Now, let me tell you, you don't know, let's say there's a sickness called something that you don't know about. Then somebody, as long as you don't know it and you don't even know it exists, it's not going to catch you because there's no awareness. You don't have the faith, it's not going to. So then somebody comes tomorrow and tells you, do you know that there is a sickness called coccidiosis? Then you say, what sickness is that? It affects this, it affects that, it spread like this, what? Then suddenly it's in the news media, they are talking about this sickness. Within a short time, you'll see how many people will have that sickness. Before they knew about it, they were not getting it. You think that's by coincidence? No, it is not. Of course, they will say it wasn't diagnosed, but it is not. That's a spiritual law. And that's how the world of the spirit impresses itself upon humanity, for good or for bad. When you get a thought that what if, you know, you can, the devil comes and throws a thought in your mind. What if you get sick of this? What if they steal? What if you're here working and somebody is at home breaking into your house? What if they are breaking into your house? Now, of course, you'll get a bit concerned. Then you call, you call your neighbor. Maybe if you stay alone. Are you sure my house is safe? What? Now, what you don't know, the devil is attacking you. Before they actually break into your house, the devil has to first present it to you as a thought, so that you believe it, and then when you believe it, it will happen in reality. So now you start getting cautious, then you say, do I have enough padlocks on my house? So now you buy a second and third padlock, then you put enough padlocks and what, and you think you're being cautious. No, you're actually fulfilling the requirements to be robbed. You're fulfilling all the spiritual requirements necessary for you to be robbed. So now what will eventually happen is this. You'll go and secure your house, do what, make sure your gate is locked, the house is locked, everything is locked, you even put what. But if nothing you will do in the natural will stop it from happening, because you accepted it the moment the devil threw it in your mind as a possibility. So the devil can come and tell you, your home, what if something happens to your child. Now this happens to most parents, it comes as a thought. But you're here, what if they call home and they tell you your child was burnt by fire or by hot water or something has happened to your child and one? And of course, every parent would get, you know. Now, when the thought drops in your mind, that is the devil presenting his manifesto for you to accept it or no. Refuse it and say, no, my child is protected of the Lord. Get a scripture and refuse the thought. The thought is not just a thought. It doesn't just come out of the blue. It is the devil whispering in your eyes. And he has to do that before he actually attacks your child. Because if you refuse it at that level, it will not happen. in the physical. So he comes and says, hey, but you're here working. What if at home your child is being, what if your daughter is being molested by what? What if this is happening? You just say, now you're taking your child to school. What if this happens? What if the other? Then maybe even what? You hear there was a school fire somewhere. They say, but what if my child what? And you live in fear. And you don't know that that fear is actually fulfilling the spiritual requirement for that thing which you're fearing to happen. You know that scripture where Job said, what I feared the most has befallen me? That's exactly what happens. That is a spiritual law. You cannot, circumvent it. You cannot go past it. So you have to understand that. Every time the thought comes and is dropped in you, what if you die? What if you get an accident? You're moving. What if this car gets an accident? Now you know that used to happen. Now I cannot accept it to happen to me. The minute it comes, if the devil even tries to drop it, I will say, you're joking. Eh? I cannot get an accident. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. I am what? And I start mentioning scriptures. And the minute you answer with a scripture, the devil is beaten. The next, it will flee. And the thought will go far away from you. Now, if you accept it and start fearing it, now, here is the thing. Now, the same way the devil can present it to you that way, is the same way God also presents his things to you. And it's the same spiritual requirement you have to fulfill for those things to become a reality in your life. Okay? Now, I'll give you an example. You're seated there, then the Holy Spirit drops a suggestion in your head. Aren't you tired of renting? What if you actually went and thought about building your own house? Now, if you refuse that at the level of a thought, it will not happen. But you see, you don't understand that is the Lord trying to pull you and tell you, but I can be with you as you build your own house. And you see, that's how God works. And people don't realize, because people meet every child of God, their life, every minute of every day, as long as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even those who will receive him in the future, because the Lord knows, even those who are not yet. Now, I remember the things I used to do, and I would survive narrowly before I was born again. And the Bible says, angels, Hebrews 1:4, are, ministering angels to those who will be heirs of salvation, not those who currently are. Now I am. But that time I wasn't yet, and I was still doing my fujo. But because God knew what is ahead, even there, angels were protecting me, because God knows he's at some stage he's going to receive Jesus Christ, he's going to be a watchman, he's going to preach the gospel. So angels are protecting you from the beginning. So now, if they are protecting those who are not yet, how about you who has received Jesus Christ? How about you who is a child of God already? Now, just know that God is there always next to you, trying to suggest something to you, trying to say something to you. But why don't you believe me for this? Why don't you do this? Can't you believe me for a bigger church? Can't you believe me to have something bigger? And it comes as a suggestion, and it is from the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you do that? You receive it the same way people receive fear, and the things they feared happen to them. Now you receive this good thing and say, yeah, by the way, I should build a house. Then you start thinking about it. Then you start looking at plots of land. Then you start doing... What you're doing is you're fulfilling the spiritual requirement for this thing to happen. Now, then you think about it. You even meditate on it. Think about what kind of house you want. And you know what? How many children do I have? I think each one should have a bed. Now you just... That's what you're doing is actually... You're fulfilling the spiritual requirement. Like the other guy with the timing belt. Then you actually start talking about it. You start talking about the kind of house you want. You want this, you want that. Because it's already conceptualized in your head. Now you're receiving what the Holy Spirit gave you. Okay? Now, when you do that, everything in the natural will have to align so that you get that house, because you have fulfilled all the spiritual requirements to make that thing happen in the natural. That's how everything, not one thing, not the second, everything in the natural. God conceives the world and says, I want mountains, I want the sea, I want that. He speaks it, it comes into being. The Bible says you are gods. Psalms 82 verse 4. In other words, you're children of the Most High God. That means that you actually have a level of creative ability in you. How? The same way the Father, the Creator, did it. You conceive something, you speak it out, it comes into being. It might not be immediate, but it will eventually come into being as long as you conceive it and speak it out. Now that's precisely how just about everything works in the world. So before you see somebody doing something, before you see somebody with a big thing or what, and you admire them, you just know it was once an idea which was probably whispered into his heart by the Holy Spirit, and then he picked up on it and got excited about it and jumped on it and built on it. Now if I told you the ideas that I have in my mind right now of things which I have no natural ability right now to achieve, but I have them as ideas in me, and there is nothing that can stop me from getting them as long as I retain them as an idea and I'm passionate about it and I get emotional about it and I get worked up about it, and the same way people get worked up about bad things going to them. So I'll give you an example. I heard Joel Osteen talking when he was preaching, and he said that when they got into that place where the Houston, in Houston, Texas, that facility where they currently meet, So when they got it, he went through all these processes. He went through the city council, told them what he had for it and all that, and there were other people competing for it. Remember, there was a basketball club which played in there, the Houston Rockets. Okay, played right in there. Then he went and they gave it to him. Then he had his first service there, and it was filled the way it usually is right now. So he went and ministered in that place. Then he said one reporter came and asked him, I want to forget these things. One reporter came and asked him that, tell me, how does it feel to preach in such a huge auditorium? Then Joel Osteen, and I remember these words so well because they are very powerful, he said that, I have been preaching in this auditorium for 10 years. In reality, it was his first time to preach there, but in his mind, in his emotions, in his imaginations, in his fantasies, he had been preaching there for 10 years. Now what does that mean? It meant 10 years before that he came to that place when there was a basketball game. He walked around, he saw, he imagined where he's going to put the pulpit, he imagined where this is, he conceived, and then he said he and his wife used to drive around that building so many times, drive around it, claim it, thank God for it, and what. Now, if you did that today, some baroque would say you're foolish, but they are the ones who are foolish, because that's how God creates things. Now they drove around that thing. He said they drove around it. It was still the home of the Houston Rockets basketball club. They claimed it. They did what? In the natural, it was the most stupid thing for anybody to even think that they have. They had no right to even think they could have it. Because first of all, you're looking at jurisdiction now, but that time he was a small pastor and all that. But eventually, when the dream is birthed so much in it, into you, it has to explode into reality and come out. So the Houston Rockets one day decided they had a better place to go and play, so they are no longer going to play there. So now the city council called for everybody who was interested in utilizing that facility. Who wants it? Who can we send it to? So, of course, Joel Osteen was there, and his ministry here. They had plans. Somebody drew up a plan for him, what they were going to do with it and all that. So, but there were so many other competitors. But because for him, he had already conceived it in his mind. It wasn't just in his, in his heart. Eventually, the city council chose his. Eventually, they ended up there. Eventually, he preached there according to his dreams. Now, I want to tell you that when God came and dropped it in his mind, that what if you would preach in that big auditorium? Joel Osteen could easily have said, that's not God, because that's not possible. And then he lets it pass, and then he ignores it, then he says, let me be realistic, and let me stay in my small church and all that. And then that's it, that it dies. That's how so many dreams die. But let me tell you, every day of your life, if you're born again, everybody who is born again, no matter where you are spiritually, every day in your life, you get a whispering from God suggesting something to you which can change your life. You reject one, tomorrow you will come back. You reject that one, the next day you will come back. I'm talking about the Lord. Then he says, but can't you, don't you think you can do this? Now, what he's telling you that, he is giving you the ability to do it. But you see, he created that. You cannot receive it unless you do that. Now, meanwhile, while the Lord is telling you, the devil also comes and tells you, but what if you get an accident? But what if something happens to your child? But what if thieves break into your house and rob? Now, because you don't know what is happening in the spiritual realm, you will accept the accident and start meditating on that and meditating on that. Then the next day people hear so and so had an accident and even broke his leg. But if you knew that that was the devil and you knew that the other voice was the Lord telling you, but what if you build your own house? But what if you started your own business? But what if you moved this business from here and expanded it to this? Everybody who is born again, everybody. Now, I wish you knew how to put yourself in a position where you're ready for every whisper that the Holy Spirit whispers to you. And you realize, oh, that is the Lord. Okay, if the Lord is suggesting that I should do that, then obviously he knows, number one, I have the ability to do it. Number two, he knows that the provision to do it has already been provided by him, not by me. My work is to simply believe, simply build on it and everything. Now, so when you hear that somebody has something tragic happened to somebody, for instance, the other lady I told you about who got a miscarriage, and you say, oh man, the devil attacked her, you know, she had an attack from the devil, she got a miscarriage. No. The devil did not attack her when she got the miscarriage. The devil attacked her when she accepted, she received the message of a miscarriage and started meditating on miscarriages, talking about miscarriages. That is exactly how it is. Never talk about negative things. What if you're fearing an accident, it's reality. Speak a scripture which is contrary to that. If you're fearing that this might happen to you, something bad might happen to you, get a scripture which is contrary to that. And start, which says something different from that, which is opposite, and start claiming it. There was a time when I was attacked by people who wanted to kill me one time, two times, three times. Then, after that, I realized, I would be fearful all the time. Somebody wants to do this, somebody wants to do this. So I got into a state of fear. Then I realized that I was falling into the devil's trap. Then I went and read what Jesus said, that even these sparrows, which are sold, how two of them for a copper coin, he said none of them can die or can fall to the ground except my Father in heaven has given permission. Then he said, how much more are you, even the very hair on your head is numbered. So I said, so I'm fearing for nothing. There is no human being who can kill me, because if you want to kill me, you'd have to first ask permission from God. That are you through with this guy? If you try to kill me when God has not given you permission, you will die in my place. Because Jesus said, and once I heard that from Jesus, I meditated on it and I totally believe it. Even if you put a barrel on my head, you cannot kill me unless God has said I should die. It is not, because Jesus said it, and there is no high authority. He said even birds, not one can fall to the ground. Even that hen which you're keeping for Christmas, if God decides that it should live longer than Christmas, you will not eat it, because it's not your permission. Jesus said even birds cannot die without his Father in heaven giving permission. Then he said, how much more? So when I learned that, I said, okay. So it is so simple. No human being has the power to decide when I live and when I die. No human being, only God. Now, when I learned that, nothing can scare me. Absolutely nothing can scare me. Nothing whatsoever can scare me. Because I know you can't. You can't, and you ask God for permission. If you try when it is not yet my time and God hasn't given you permission, then you might die in my place. Because God has said I'm not self. And are you through with the watchman? Has he finished preaching his end time? Is it time for him to go to heaven? If yes, then well, then you have a chance. If no, you have zero chance. Because so what I'm trying to tell you is that when that became a measure, something that I feared at the time, because of what my experiences had been in terms of people trying to kill me, I got a scripture which assures me the contrary. And when I believed that scripture, the fear went. And when the fear goes, it cannot happen, because the possibility of it has been shut down. So if you're fearing that one day you wake up and you're sick, get a scripture which says the contrary. One Bible scripture, and know that that is God's word, and the word of God comes with the power of God. Okay, Just know that every word of God comes with the power of God. That's just the way it is. Now, know that if God said this, then I'm going to believe this. Okay? So get it, meditate on it, believe it, repeat it. How do you meditate on it? By saying it over and over again. The same way I said that time, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given me the spirit of fear. God has, I said that scripture like, by the time I had spoken it like 50 times, man, I was fearing nothing. I had overcome the fear, and I was now in faith, and I was confident, because the power of God, I mean the word of God comes with the power of God. So it was implanted inside me, and I knew that I have liberty to move without fear. Now that is true for everything. You use it that way. How do you get the good part of this spiritual law? The same way. You receive a suggestion from the Holy Spirit to put you up, to lift you up, to start something powerful, to apply for a better job, all those things. Maybe you're sitting there, there's a job which people are, which is advertised. Then you're looking through the newspapers. Then you feel the Holy Spirit whispering to you, why don't you apply? Man, then because you've been listening to the Watchman today, you say, wow, okay, that might be good. Then God will confirm it, because the next day you will still be feeling it stronger, stronger, stronger. Then suddenly you realize, oh, okay, maybe it was actually God. Now, if it is God, then I'm going to apply. So you go ahead and apply for the job. Then you start confessing that the job is yours. Start thanking God that the job is yours. Start imagining yourself in that place. Start, basically build up. Get excited about the job. Do what? When you fulfill all those spiritual laws, there is nothing in the natural that can stop you. Even if somebody is cleverer than you and passes the test, he will not get the job. Something will happen to you. I remember some guy who passed an exam, he was the best in an exam, then when they called him to start the job, his phone had been stolen. So his phone was off. And so they called the person who was second. And the person who was second was the one who was believing God and who had fulfilled all the requirements. Now, you said, does God work through stealing and what? I forget about that. I don't know. But I know spiritual laws have to come to pass. It's the same thing as Jacob and Esau. Jacob was going to get that blessing one way or the other. But the fact that his mother lied and he came there and pretended to be Esau, he was going to get the blessing one way or the other. Now, I don't know, because spiritual things align themselves to the way that if somebody has to get out of the way, somebody has to come around, something has to happen. If you have believed for it, it has to happen. If, in the case of the example I gave you of Joel Osteen, if a basketball club has to move and find another place, it will happen. But because you have believed and you fulfilled all the spiritual laws, that thing is going to fall in your care. Now, I hope you've learned something very serious. So when somebody comes and starts telling you there is Zika virus, there is what that is the devil trying to knock on your door so that you get concerned. I'm pregnant. What if I have Zika virus? Don't believe that. You belong to a different world. You just get a scripture which assures you something different. Say it. Say, don't just think it in your mind. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Until it becomes so full of you. Until you know you Zika virus, even if everybody else gets it, that's their problem, not yours. The Bible says 1,000 will fall by your side, but it will not come close to you. That's what the Bible says. So get that scripture. Even if the whole world gets, even if all the Americans and Obama and what gets Zika, Why me? I belong to a different world. In my world, there are no such things as that. What this virus? What? No. They don't exist where I stay. Now I know that even if 1,000 fall and 10,000 by my wayside, it shall not come nigh me. The Bible says, Psalms 91. So just know that as long as you protect yourself and do not fall down to the ministry of fear, which is being carried out by televisions, radios, NGOs and what, spreading breast cancer awareness, why are you spreading awareness of cancer? Why don't you spread awareness of prosperity? You see, that's why, even the same thing with God in the church, that's why even sometimes we have to keep on talking about certain things. For instance, prosperity, God wants to prosper you. Because when that awareness fills you and you become aware of it, then that's when you can receive it. And then also, I remember one time people came to night prayer and I prayed for people to receive the Holy Spirit and to be baptized in tongues. Then I felt the Lord like almost did it. I went and asked because not so many people, and I don't think even one person actually got baptized that time. So I went and asked the Lord, why weren't they getting? But he said, there is not enough awareness. If you speak about baptism of the Holy Spirit, it will create in the people awareness about it. Then that awareness, when the awareness is created, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will happen automatically. But because the churches are no longer preaching it, nobody is talking about it, so somehow it is distant. People see it as very far away. That's why they cannot even receive it. So we have to keep on talking about God wants to prosper you, prosperity. We have to talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit, certain things which we think are of value. We have to continue to talk about them so that your awareness is raised in that area, and when it is raised, you receive that thing of which you are aware. I hope you've understood that. Now, last Friday we did not have a Bible study because there was a lot of tension around Kampala and what, and especially the people who were moving around with the machines felt that maybe it wasn't exactly safe for them, so we cancelled it. But this Friday we are resuming the overnight, and please come by because we've been having a very wonderful time praying, and now people are being baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is a very, very nice thing because I spoke about it over and over again and awareness was created. So come around and pray with us, and let's be the watchtower that God has called us to be. So this Friday we are on, starts at 10 p.m. at Wuma Showgrounds, Madivani Hall. Madivani Hall is made of, is glass, is all glass, kind of blue glass. Madivani Hall, Wuma Showgrounds, this Friday and every Friday thereafter, starting 10 p.m. So please come for the overnight and be there. If you came last Friday and we didn't manage to get through to you through communication to tell you that had been postponed, our apologies, but we are on this Friday. And now, if you want to connect with this ministry, in terms of, first of all, you can send me an email. People have been sending emails about dreams, and I've been helping interpret some. But some people, I see the dream is so easy that you should be able to interpret it yourself. So some of them, I try to engage them and say, what do you think it means and what? But when I see somebody is like really doesn't have an idea and I can sense that, then I help them interpret the dreams. But don't send dreams through the mobile number. Send them through email, number one. Number two, we got an Airtel line, which you can also now use for mobile money as well as for calling. Or rather Airtel money as it is called. So we have an Airtel line now. So we have two lines. The Airtel line is 0755 292 555. It is 0755 292 555. I'll say it again, 0755 292 555. Now the MTN one, which people are familiar with, which they have been using, is 0780 292 555. I'll say it again, 0780 292 555. So you can send your seed on those numbers. You can call or make an appointment to meet the watchman or all that on those numbers if you wish, and and make any inquiries concerning the ministry that you want to make. Now we've loaded the latest version of the messages on the website, so you can go and get them. On the website is www.watchman.co.ug, watchman.co.ug. And we're also reviving our Facebook page. I'd kind of put it off, but people in the ministry told me that we should revive it, so I'm reviving it, and I'll be posting something every week concerning things that are happening in the world. And then we also use it as a forum for questions and answers and things like that. If you want to get to our Facebook page, you just go straight to www.facebook.com/Ugandan Watchman. If you already tuned on Facebook and you want to go to Ugandan Watchman, it can be a bit difficult. But if you go facebook.com/Ugandan Watchman and go straight there, then you'll find it a lot easier to get there. So we are, and please like it, because if you like the page, then everything we post comes to you, to your Facebook account. So if you don't like it, then it will not come to you. So when you go to our Facebook page, like it, so that you will be updated on everything else that we do in there. So night prayers are on this Friday, don't forget that. We have an Airtel line, which is 0755 292 555. We have an MTN line which you've always had, 0780 292 555. There, if you want to send an email to ask anything, dreams, what stuff like that, it is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, and the Facebook page is Ugandan Watchman, facebook.com/Ugandan Watchman. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for being a part of the Watchman, and thanks to all our partners, the people who make this happen through their listening, through their financial contributions and everything. We do really appreciate you, by the way. We appreciate everything that you do. You make this possible, and so many people are being blessed by this. People who have shocked me. I had gone to vote in my ward, and I found a lady who told me, man, we listen to the Watchman every time, you own the whole family. And so many people are being blessed by it. So if you actually contribute, as even if it is 10,000 shillings or 5,000 shillings, you are doing a powerful work for God. And may the Lord richly bless you. Good evening.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on.